This Week in Tennis.
Hey, Craig. Why does the All England Club put out a poster and omit one of the greatest British players of all time, a two-time champion? Why did they do this? Why do they continually do stupid shit, Craig?
Well, I'm not sure who's advising them on that one, Phil, but there were people on that poster that haven't even won a Wimbledon, and there were people on that poster confined to the background who have won multiple Wimbledons. Legends of Wimbledon, legends of tennis, were made to look like an afterthought, and people who are playing who have won Wimbledon were not even on there.
Maybe they got confused with Italian Vogue. Welcome to This Week in Tennis. I'm Phil Nasons. He's Craig Doyle, and we're here to talk today about the 2023 Wimbledon. The draw just came out, and Craig and I are fired up. I'm fired up for strawberries and cream on Monday morning breakfast at Wimbledon, Craig.
Well, it's that time of the year, isn't it? You've been fired up for a few days. I know you have.
Oh, yes.
Ready to talk about this. They took a while to get this draw out this morning, didn't they? It seemed to go on for about 45 minutes and another 20 minutes to get that up here on the internet so that we could take a deep dive on it. And I think that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to win some money on this first round.
Yeah, let's hope. You know, we finished the French Open tournament 15.23, I think, units ahead. You can track all those plays at BetStamp. You go to Phil Nasons, or I'm sorry, Nasons Phil on Twitter. Hit the link tree in the profile and all the links to like where I write and what I pick. Independently, by the way, is all found in that link tree. The top half, I watched the draw live because I don't trust them to put anything up on time, you know. But then again, Craig, there aren't many Grand Slams where we've had the draw in front of us, so we're kind of used to it. But if I'm Carlos Alcaraz, I'm not a happy camper right now. No siree. That top half of the men's draw looks bloody.
Yeah, the top half's kind of stacked with the sort of lower seeds that you probably didn't want to see if you are coming in here as the world's number one player, but having never won Wimbledon. You probably would have been hoping not to see a number of names in the same half of the draw as you. But that's a measure of being number one. If he's the number one player on the tour, then he should be able to handle it. So we're going to find out over the next 14 days if he really is the number one player on the tour or not.
No, I don't think he's the number one player on grass. I think that guy's sitting in the number 128 spot. Full disclosure for MD betting, I predicted Novak Djokovic to win this tournament on the men's side. I don't see. Well, looking at the second half of the draw, the bottom half, I don't see anything standing in his way. Perhaps, like you said, off air, maybe a John Isner can get after him. But we'll get to that in a second. Let's look at this top half. You got Carlos Alcaraz. Now, he's the number one seed. I still like the old way they did things better, where they basically ranked them and seeded them by how they perform on grass. Okay, Alcaraz has played pretty well. He won Queens. Good for him. But he has to face Jeremy Chardy right off the bat. I think he probably will win that match. I'm sure he will. But if you want to beat Novak Djokovic, and if you want to get through this section of the draw, you better have more than just a fist pump and a drop shot.
He's going to be there come the second week. I don't see Carlos Alcaraz losing in the first week, first three rounds. There's a possibility when he gets into that Monday afternoon in the second week, he may come up against someone like Alex de Minaur, which would certainly offer him a challenge again. They played over at Queen's Club a few weeks ago, and Alcaraz came out on top in that one. But There's also the slight possibility of running into Alexander Zverev there as well in round four. So Zverev Demonur could be a round three match on the Friday or the Saturday. And the winner of that one playing against Alcaraz in round four would be a bit of a blockbuster match, because we know that Alexander Zverev is better than his 19th rank. He's coming back from injury. He's got a pretty big game. He's going to be more suited to this surface than he was over in Paris. So that, yeah, it's going to be really tough for Alcaraz. It's starting in the second week. He's going to be facing really tough opponents.
Oh, for sure. He's going to have a hard time. I don't think he's going to get through it. I don't think he wants to. He doesn't want to get embarrassed by Novak in the final, because he got him humiliated in Paris. I mean, I don't care what anyone says. If you're cramping up in the second set, you got a big issue. And when Djokovic walked across the net to check on him, he was just checking his handiwork and see how much further he has to go to put that young kid out. And when he turned around to just see how he giggled, he knew exactly what was up. He knows exactly what's happening. I'll tell you what, I don't see how he wins. I see how he gets through to that fourth round. After that, you know what, anyone can win at that point, right? But I don't think it'll be him. When you look at what's inside that top half, you've got Berrettini, who at one time was probably the best grass court player in the world. He struggled with injuries. He struggled with having a lot of money in the bank and being single, you know, and being handsome. And, of course, being Italian and finding his face in the page six back page in the gossip columns. That's interesting. You know who's a dangerous player right now is Francis Tiafoe. His serve is really starting to come along. His game is coming along. He could be dangerous in that top half. Rouhani, he's okay. I think he's a little better than I thought he would be on grass. Let me see who else we got. Daniel Medvedev is in that side. I don't see him going far. Griekspoor is a nice player. He's in there. Raonic, he'll be out in the first round. Cam Nori could be dangerous for him. The home crowd, you know. And Max Cressy's a big serve and volleyer. I'm not so sure he can take out Alcaraz. I don't think he's going to take out too many. He doesn't seem to finish matches well. This match here, though, Ryan Peniston against Andy Murray, the all-British battle. What a draw for Murray, right?
Well, I think the more interesting one is, like most people, is going to expect Murray to win this first one. But he will play the winner of Dominic Thiem, your favorite, and Stefanos Tsitsipas. Is this a bad draw again for Tsitsipas at Wimbledon?
No, because he'll be able to beat Dominic Thiem's a shell of himself. Let's face it. Come on.
Can he beat Murray? That's going to be a big match. That second round, Murray versus Tsitsipas, if both guys get to the second round, that's a difficult draw for Tsitsipas straight out of the gate. I mean, and then the winner of that one could be playing Shelton.
And that won't be fun either. Shelton's got a tricky match with Taro Daniel, but back to your question, yeah, I don't like that. If I'm Stefanos Tsitsipas, you know what? He's happier than a pig in shit right now. So, you know what? He doesn't care. And that's fine. And why should he? He's having fun. He's a young guy. He's rich. He's famous. And he's got a beautiful girlfriend who he seems to like a lot. And she seems to like him. I don't know. Stefanos should be a really good grass court player. He grew up playing at hard courts, you know. He should be. He has a good volley. He attacks well when he wants to. But I think he's pretty content listening to his father tell him to play 14 feet behind the baseline. So whatever. But I see Tsitsipas getting past Thiem. Come on, you all need to pump the brakes on that one. I don't care. Dominic Thiem is a challenger player. He's not a tour player anymore. He's a challenger player. Stefanos Tsitsipas top. But back to the Murray thing, Murray will chop him up, though. You know, the problem with Stefano is he tries to do too much. And you try to do too much against a player like Andy Murray, who's got the experience, and despite the poster of champions, he's got a couple of those cups on his mantle too. I think Murray takes him out in the second round. I think it'd be interesting. I think it would go four or five sets. I think it'll go the distance. But you have to almost give it to Andy Murray. I mean, he's got the experience.
You know, it's a funny thing, right? If you had said to me that match was third round, I would have picked Tsitsipas. Or fourth round.
Yeah, me too.
The later in the tournament, the more likely I am to pick Tsitsipas. But the fact is, second round, Murray's probably got two wins in him here. He's going to beat Peniston in the first round. That's pretty much a given, unless he pulls up with an injury. And then Tsitsipas in the second round, I think Murray's got the legs still to do that in five sets if he has to. Whereas if you go into the third round, and you know, let's say that Murray had to play, say, Shelton before playing Tsitsipas, I think he would get run down playing against someone like Shelton, and then Tsitsipas would see him out in four or five sets. But the fact that second round, I can't wait to see what the numbers are on that. Are they going to give me a big number on Andy Murray? Because he's not seeded, Tsitsipas is.
Oh, they're going to give us a big number for that. A big number. We're going to play Murray in the second round, too. That's a good observation. As the matches go later, you know, Andy has trouble with fitness. He's got a steel hip, for God's sakes. He probably shouldn't even be playing. But yet he's still clocking ATP guys and still walking into main draws, earning it, playing challengers of all things. Whoever thought I never thought I'd say Andy Murray's playing challengers. I thought he would be at home playing with his kids by this time. Of course, when he was younger, Craig, I never thought he would have kids. I never thought anybody would want to sit next to him long enough to get to know him for that to happen. He was really surly. Remember how he used to be?
Yeah, I mean, that was when he was, you know, 21 20. And under.
Yeah,
an acquired taste, I think, for a lot of people.
Much acquired, yes.
But he's done well for himself. He's on, you know, the twilight of his career. And it will be quite interesting because this could probably be the last time you'll meet Tsitsipas. I think you're not going to see Murray. Maybe you see him next year at Wimbledon again. He's actually ranked in the top 40 at the minute, so
I know,
he's
right?
Playing some good stuff. But they've played each other twice, and they played on grass last year in Germany, and Murray won in straight sets. So that's where I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, this is going to be difficult for Stefanos. And if the numbers look right, I think I'll be playing Murray, like you said.
Oh, why wouldn't you? You know, I think it will all depend, too, on how long it takes him to beat Peniston. If he comes in under 2 hours in that first round, yeah, he'll tap Stefanos. He'll just tap him.
I think, you know, you're looking at that Peniston match, and this draw, right, these guys, who are they going to put in the center court? Are they going to put Carlos Alcaraz on the center court? If they are, they're going to put Andy Murray on as the other match. Because, the top half of the draw is going to be Tuesday because Djokovic won it last year, so he'll be first out on center court, bottom half of the draw. So this top half of the draw, you're looking for like two matches to go on center court, probably two men's matches on the Tuesday. It's probably going to be Alcaraz and Shardy. That's not a ticket-selling match, you know. That's not a viewer. You're not going to draw viewers to the TV with that match, even though he's the world number one player. But I think Peniston Murray probably go on that center court as well. For a guy who's a wild card, a British wild card, Peniston, I think he'll be overawed by the occasion being out on center court. I think it will be too much for him. He's played some nice stuff at Queen's Club, and he did similar last year. But out on that center court, when there's 12, 13,000, 15,000 people, whatever it is, It's going to be like nothing he's ever played before. He's going to be, you know, stiff arm when he comes out there. He's not going to be loose and hitting the ball the way he would normally do when he plays in these challenger events and futures events and whatever. So I just think, yeah, Murray's going to probably get through that one pretty quickly. And I think the same with Tsitsipas against Thiem. I don't see Thiem lasting too long against Tsitsipas.
No, I don't either. But, you know, another match that probably won't, we probably will get a big number on is the Milos Raonic-Denis Novak match. Now, Raonic has played, two matches since his comeback? He won the first one, lost the second one. He's not going to beat Denis Novak. There's a big difference between 2 out of 3 and 3 out of 5, and he could barely get through the second set. I just think he's there to pick up a check, show people his face, you know, give it one more, you know, give it the old Canadian try, if you will. But I don't think he's got much. This Korda Vesely match, this should be good. Eubanks Monteiro, you might get a good price on that if you take Monteiro. I don't know about Christopher Eubanks. I'm not so.
He's hit or miss, right? I mean, I
way just, hit or miss.
I have no joy betting on this guy.
None.
Sometimes I see it and I think, wow, he's got everything. The next time I see him, it's just he falls to pieces. So he's one of those that I tend to avoid.
Oh, for sure. I think I'm going to probably play against Berrettini in the first round with Sonego. Sonego's played a lot of tennis this year.
He's playing well, too.
That's what
he's actually playing okay on the grass as well. I think he may have actually... Did they play a couple of weeks back? I think they might have.
I thought Sonego. They did. Was it in Holly?
I'm trying to... I'm just.
Oh, maybe it was Stuttgart.
So Lorenzo Sonego. Let's see if he...
Sonego is right up here at the top of aces, too, on grass courts this year. You know, he's cranking that ace. He's cranking his serve a lot bigger than he has been in the past. I think the other thing, too, I was watching him the last time he played. I think his kicker is starting to bounce a little bit. He's starting to figure out how to hit a kick serve on the grass. And if he can do that like he does on clay, you know, he could give Berrettini some fits out there.
Yeah, you were right. It was in Stuttgart, and Sonego won 1-2.
Oh, yeah.
I mean...
He's just Berrettini's hurt. You know
yeah,
what?
He's smoked him there. I mean, Berrettini's... You remember, Berrettini's made the final here before, but that was when he was hungry and he was fit and on form. Up against Sonego here, wow. Let's see what the numbers are on that, because if the money's right... That could be a good play. You could play Sonego here and make a killing if the numbers are good.
That's when he means the numbers are good. He means it's $1.50 as an underdog or higher. So if you're getting plus now, if you're looking at it's not how gamblers talk, but I guess this is how we'll have to do it. Plus 150 or better. You want to pull the trigger on that one because I think that's going to pay off. Let me see. There's one other one I was looking at that I thought might pay off in the top half. Oh, where was it? Oh, you know, Sebi Korda has a tough matchup with Vesely. Vesely's no slouch. I like what Korda's done, but I don't know if he's got the physicality to win a major or go far here, at least during this fortnight.
Can I pick one out?
Yeah, of course you can.
Caught my eye just as I was coming down. We've got seeded player Davidic Fortina playing against Frenchman Fies. And one of the things, and Fies, you could easily skip this over because he's a wild card, but he's actually, he missed out on the Wimbledon draw because of where he was ranked prior to the grass court season when they had the cutoff. So Arthur Fies is actually ranked a lot higher than what you'd expect. So I picked this one out because Davidic Fokina, Spanish player, I don't think he's a great grass court player. I could be absolutely wrong about that. But in previous years, he's done nothing for me on the grass courts. I saw a little bit of Arthur Fies playing the other week, and I thought, yeah, he's competent. He's ranked 58 in the world at the minute. He's a very, very young French player. He's only 19 years old. I think he could cause Davidic Fokina a lot of problems in this first round.
I agree with you. That's a good shout. I didn't write that down because I was busy trying to get all the main ones. I didn't even look at that. Good catch. I have one more that I think could hunt for you in the first round, in the top half, and that's Max Cressy has a tough one with Laszlo Jagiri, and I think Laszlo can take him out. You know, he likes a big target, and Cressy does some nice things, but the last time I saw him play, he had, 13 double faults in a best-of-three match. He gave away 3.5 games, or 3.25 games. You can't be spotting people 3.25 on grass, and then you go into the tiebreaker and get slapped. You know, I think that same thing could happen here, so that might be it. Now, the bottom half of the draw, Novak Djokovic, again, that preview is at mdbetting.com, And it should be up there by the time you hear this podcast. The link will be in the podcast notes. You know, this bottom half is where you're going to make some money, though, I think, because you've got some seriously interesting matchups here. You know, the one that strikes me right off the bat, though, is the Moutet-Gasquet match, two French players. Gasquet is like a god to these young guys, you know. Anyone who can get out of a drug bust or get busted for dirty urine by saying he kissed a girl who had cocaine in her mouth deserves legendary status. That's for damn sure. But I had to get that in. That's why no one hires us. But at the end of the day, I like this matchup. And I think that Richard Gasquet can pull one off. You know, he's been known to win a round here and there, especially at majors. He's got the experience. If he's the underdog, you're probably going to want to play him, I think.
First round, definitely. Yeah, he's still got the shots. Like, he might not have the mobility that he had 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I mean, he's been a top 10 player before. So first round, though, I think he comes out flying and he'll be hitting everything.
Oh, for sure. You know who's got a tough matchup right off the bat is Yannick Sinner with Cerundolo. I think that might go a little further than young Yannick wants to go. I hope he doesn't have a photo shoot set up for after the match because that photographers might be waiting a while.
Yeah, he's got a little sticky first couple of rounds.
Sticky, Craig.
You know, he's the best player in that group, but there's a few guys in there on grass that's going to cause problems. He'll need to be dialed in if he wants to be here come week two.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, how focused will he be? You know, he's front and center on the billboard, though. That's funny, man. When I saw Yannick Sinner on there and Carlos Alcaraz, two guys who haven't won shit on grass, and how they omitted great champions like Andy Murray, it's just another reason why the LTA just can't be trusted. They're just dumb as shit over there. You know who I like, though? I like this Evans-Halas match. Hopefully Evans can get a good price on him. You can play him. Now, this Michael Yeamer-Alex Molcan match is going to be very interesting as well. Yeamer's got that slapper, you know. He can push the ball. He's left-handed. He doesn't quit. He's like the Energizer Bunny, Craig. But he's running up against a kid who can play too. And that should be an interesting match. You're probably looking at over 35 and a half games there, probably. None of the odds are out, by the way. We're just kind of spitballing here, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm just looking down from that one. Do you reckon Taylor Fritz is going to turn up this week? He's been absent for the last month.
Well, yeah, I know. He's doing videos, though. You know, he's got the
people. Well, that's important, isn't it?
Of course it is. If you can't win a major, you might as well get all the side money you can. I don't know. But he better turn up against Halfman. Otherwise, he's going home early. Taylor Fritz could be home by the 4th of July.
if things go badly, because this side of the draw will play on the 3rd, so.
It's possible. It's possible Halfman can take him out.
Stranger things have happened.
I don't think it's probable, but it's possible.
There's quite a lot of interest in here. I'm just looking down.
See this? Are you really looking? When I was watching it live and writing the little notes, because again, I don't trust them to get their draw. Boy,
you know who's got a good draw, and I know you don't like this kid, is Denis Shapovalov. Playing Albot in the first round qualifier. I watched Albot qualify at Roehampton last week in the background. I was watching him a little bit. But there's this little section here all the way to the 3rd round. If Shapovalov wins his first two matches, which on grass, with the way he plays, he should be having a good shot at doing that. He could come up against Casper Ruud, and that's a guy I don't think is a top grass player. I think he's a fantastic clay court player. But Shapovalov's got a really good chance there to do some damage and put himself into the second week.
Now, when Craig says I don't like this person, it's not I don't like.
It's not
like,
personal.
No, I don't like. I've only seen him a couple times, and he was on one practice court, and me and my guys were on the other. So I didn't really see it. You know what I mean? But I don't like to bet on him. He's so inconsistent. I just hate it. You know, he's another one who, you know what, we hope he shows up and fights. He might fight, but I don't even have him. This is how little I value him as a, in the betting atmosphere, that he's not even on my page, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, he slipped down the rankings a bit. He was sitting outside the top 10, you know, in that 10 to 20 zone for a while. And he's, you think he's seeded 26 when I scrolled down there. So he's a bit off the page. And then I kept scrolling down, and then I caught this one. It's quite an interesting one as well. David Goffin is playing against Nick Kyrgios in the first round.
You take Goffin and you don't turn back.
I think you might have to, yeah.
Well, here's what you do. Here's what you do. You just bet against Nick every time. And what you do, I think it's called the Martingale system. It's early, as you know, me and Craig are up real early to make sure you got all this information. What I would do with him is I would bet Goffin. I don't think there's no betting odds up yet. I'm watching that screen. And if he loses, you double your bet the next time against Kyrgios, because at some point he's going to lose. He's going to lose big. And if Nick wins the first round, and I love Nick, believe me, I do. And I promise you, if he listens to this, he knows I ain't speaking wrong. At the end of the day, he's not in shape. He's told you that. He went on Twitter and says, hey, I had a serious injury. You know I lost, but don't get mad at me. This takes time to come back. And it does. Because when you're a player like Nick Kyrgios, and I know people call him an underachiever and they call him a lot of other names, that boy still comes out there to try to win. I mean, he still has a certain standard that he wants to meet. And the reality is, if he's healthy, he's the number two grass player in the world. He's the only player in this draw that can beat Novak Djokovic at this venue in this moment. That's what I feel anyway, but not this time. So that's what you do with him. You're going to just bet against him until he loses, and you'll make more money than you thought you would. The one match that I thought was going to be interesting, and you're looking at for sure, more than 35 games, for sure, is going to be this Borna Coric and Pella match, because this is going to be nothing but a clay court slapper. It's a first-round match, so the courts are at the All England Club are probably still playing really, really well. You know, those courts hold up better than, say, I don't know, Queens. But Queens are much better to play on. And it's aesthetically pleasing. And the people at Queens are nicer, too. I thought I'd get that in, too. Again, this is why we don't get the big jobs, Craig. But I think, for example, I would probably go against Kaspar Ruud, against Locally. I think that would be a good shout. Because I would do the same thing with Ruud that I'm doing with Kyrgios. And then if I lose the first one, I'd double up until I hit it. And I will hit it, and I'll make a lot of money, because the betting public will see things like Kyrgios winning and Ruud winning and thinking they actually have a chance. And that's where you slap them when you're betting on tennis. I think that's the case. I think that we've been very successful that way, right?
We've had success in the past, certainly. I want to throw another one out to you as well. Probably sure. The last one that I found quite interesting. You've got Filip Krajinovic, Serbian player. He's ranked outside
playing
the top
FAA, right?
Minute. Yeah, he's playing Felix in the first round. And Felix is another guy I think can just, he can self-explode when things are not going for him. You know, when he's not striking the ball well, it can go really bad. When he's hitting the ball well, and he's not hit the ball well for a while, but we saw him hit the ball well at the Open. I think it might have been last year or the year before. And he, you know, cruised through the draw. But when he's not striking that ball off the middle of the racket, which he's not at the minute, it can really just, you know, he's not hitting bad shots and being outplayed. He's hitting the ball out of the court and losing a lot of free points. He could be another guy who could go in the first round, and it might be worth checking the money on that one to see what it is.
I would do that for sure. Like we said, the odds are not up yet. You can follow me at BetStamp. That's where you're going to get the picks. If you follow me on Twitter just to get picks, you're not getting any, because I don't give picks out. That's what touts do, and I'm not a tout. And neither is Craig. Craig doesn't say peep ever on Twitter about tennis, hardly. Because we get in trouble when we do that. That's the difference. You know who's going to be a good match, too? is this Bublik-McDonald match. That should be interesting because Bublik's going to try to drag him into tiebreakers. You might be looking at an over there. You might be looking. Bublik's going to be favored in this. Does Mackenzie McDonald have a shot in the first round?
I like Bublik.
I like him too, but can you, when you talk about imploding, what are you trying to say? Because you know, Bublik's,
he's a master.
His name is right there next to the definition.
That's a tough first. I mean, that's another one where let's have a look at the money when it drops and see if we could play that one.
I think so. Like I said, follow me on BetStamp. We're going to cash this tournament because this draw looks beautiful. Now, here's another one. Isner-Munar. I think that goes five sets because Isner's only interested in serving.
Well, if it goes to a tiebreak, you're going to favor Isner. I'd probably play the over on this one to be sure. It'd be interesting to see what price to give on Isner now. How old is he? Is he 40 yet?
Oh, I think he's closing in on it, and I think he's going to play till he's 50. Because as long as he can serve, he's always got a chance. He's always going to pick up a check, right?
Yeah, so he's 38 by the looks of it. So, he's not going to be running around, is he? He's going to be loading up bombs. I mean, you come back, how many aces is he going to get in the first round? Can you get a bet on that? I think it'd be interesting to see what the money is on the number of aces that he gets.
Oh, I think that would be, I think there would be. You know what? What you want to do is you're going to look for, like, say, if you're at DraftKings, you're going to look for match props or tournament props, most serves. I think that's up there, most aces. I think that would be up there. Another guy, yeah, Bublik. Bublik's another one. He leads the tour on grass in aces over the last year, 155 of them. Struff is another one that bangs the shit out of the ball. Let me see. There's a couple others I wanted to get to before we get to this last one, before we go to the ladies, I should say. So you got Jordan Thompson, Brandon Nakashima. Nakashima won us some money there the last time he played. And you know what? He's probably going to be the favorite here. And I think if you can get another one of these good prices that's $1.50 or higher, or better, I should say, then you almost have to pull the trigger on Jordan Thompson. Thompson's an Australian. He's played pretty well on grass. And, you know, this would be a good win for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Winner plays Djokovic, right?
Yep.
Not the prize that you want for winning that one.
What's the prize money for the second round, Craig? What do you think that's worth? Didn't you tell me something about that? You had found the forgive us for typing so much, but the draw, I mean, we're working right off the live draw here, so we're trying to come up with some stuff for you. But
I mean, you do ask me some out there questions. I'm sure we looked at this the other week because we were having a discussion. So singles, second round, £85,000. So that's probably about $100,000.
Not a bad 4 days.
No, I mean, it goes up, you know. You get $55,000 for just getting there. So let's get it in your money because, you know, we're talking to an American audience. I know we're playing in London this week, so we're playing pounds as opposed to dollars. But
the dollar ain't worth shit now.
So
thank you, Joe Biden.
So £55,000 first round, you lose. You get $82,000 for losing in the first round.
Damn.
If you get to that second round, we're looking at getting somewhere around about just under $100,000 for getting to the second round.
You can make some serious coin. You know, it's interesting. They talk about, remember when Novak Djokovic, what was it, a Pospisil, they decided to play their little new tour game? We want to get more money to the younger guys, the guys that don't have it, but the guys that are cashing in are the guys that don't need it. And that's the way it's always been. I wish that kid would just play tennis.
I'm just looking at the percentage prize money for the winner has gone up by 17.5% since last year.
Inflation.
So, well, yeah, you call it what you will, but the winner, US dollars, is looking at making $3.5 million US dollars.
That's not too bad. That's better than hitting the lottery.
That's how much Djokovic will be taken away.
There's your prediction, so we don't have to do that now. So Craig and I are in agreement that Novak Djokovic is going to win this tournament. Next week, we'll give you a better idea who he's going to face, if it matters. But the ladies' side of things, this could get interesting. You know, but I only have one page of notes for that one because I don't like to bet WTL. However, I do have one out there. If you're able to get this match in time, if I get the podcast up, I got Camille Gorgi at $140, and she's playing against Daria Kasatkina this morning, and I think it's in Eastbourne. It is in Eastbourne. And I think Camille Gorgi, who's been slinging aces, I think she's going to knock her off. Okay, so the top half. Here you go. This is the match I'm looking forward to seeing, dude. There is no other match, little brother, that I'm interested in seeing more than Venus Williams knock the crap out of Elena Svitolina in the first round. I would love that. I wonder if Elena's going to shake Venus's hand. Since it's Venus's tax dollars who are funding that fiasco over there. It sure ain't Elena's tax dollars. She left there years ago, like all of them do. Save me your G.I. Joe Instagram.
Did you
too.
See there was a story came out last week detailing the rules and regulations for Russian and Belarusian players, what they've got to follow? It's like a different set of rules
of
for
course
them.
Of course it is. What, can you name some of those?
I couldn't. There were things about symbols and flags. I know that one particular player has got a Russian oil sponsor on his shirt. It was a male player. And he's not allowed to wear that sponsor on his shirt. So he's got to take that off, take his sponsor's logo off of his shirt while at Wimbledon. So that was one of the ones that jumped off the page at me.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm looking forward to Venus slapping that girl silly. That's what I'm looking forward to. Now, the top half for the draw, obviously you got Iga in there. And then it gets interesting. You got Coco Gauff. Coco Gauff has a tough first rounder with Sofia Kenin. You know, Kenin was one of the top guns in the world. Now, I remind me, she won a major, didn't she? Or got to the finals of one, right? I feel like she won something.
She won this Australian Open?
I think it would have to be that one. Did she?
Did she?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to Google it here. I'm trapped in here in the studio, Craig, and I'm kind of stuck. I'm limited here in how I can move still. Let me see.
Yeah. Let me see. Australian Open 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. How many is Coco? Wait a second.
I remember it because we did the show. Yeah. And there were four people left. Second week, there were four girls left in the draw. And Kenin was the least likely to win it. And
yep,
I said, I think she's going to win it. And she did win it.
That's right. She did. Now, she's only gotten to the second round three times. That's her best finish. She won the Australian Open in 2020, and then she came in and got to the finals of the French. She was rolling that year. Then she fired her dad or some kind of thing happened. Who knows? But you know what? She's got a major under her belt. That's something Coco doesn't have. And I would bet you Sofia Kenin's going to get fired up to play her. And I think I'm going to throw a couple shekels on it just to see.
She will. I mean, if you read the British media, Coco Gauff's already in the final.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Unreal. How?
Which is great. You know, she's already won six matches. She's knocked out Swiatek and numerous others, Pegula, etc. So she's already in the final. So you just come back Saturday, 2 weeks' time, and you'll see Coco Gauff, apparently.
Yeah, she'll be on the poster next year. With all the rest of what's that?
They could have taken Venus and Serena off the poster and just put Coco on there.
They should have done that. They should have took all of them off and just put Coco on there. Why
it's
not?
Strange. I mean, I know that she made her breakthrough.
God bless her too. She's playing great at Eastbourne, by the way.
Yeah, she's playing some good stuff. But I think the hype machine
sucked her dry.
particularly the UK, has just gone crazy for her. And I don't think that she's, you know, she's not in my top five people who I think is going to win this.
She doesn't have any foundation in her game, but she's also been training at that one spot for since she was, what, 4 or 5? Just goes to show you, you got to watch out. But I think I'm going to go after this Ken and Goff match. I don't mind if I lose again. I'll bet against Coco until she loses. Jessica Pegula plays Lauren Davis. What's up with the LTA? I watched the draw live, so I don't think they fooled with it. But boy, you got a lot of Americans playing here in the first round, in the top half. How far does Venus go in this tournament?
Second round.
Yeah, second round, because she's going to beat Svitolina. You can bet on that.
I mean, Venus is always going to have a chance in the first round. She's going to come in fresh, but Mertens in the second round, even if she beats Svitolina, which she you know, we think she could, at least Mertens is a seeded player. She's a tough player to play against. I just think that it would be really difficult for Venus to go beyond the second round. And she's also in the same block, actually, as Gauff. So they could actually meet third round if they got that far. But I'm not confident on Venus getting as far as round three.
I think Coco's out in round one. If she wins Eastbourne, she's out in round one.
Well, that's a danger in playing the week before, isn't it? You come in here. This top half of the draw will be Tuesday, so that she'll have the extra day's rest to Tuesday. But the danger of playing the week before is you ain't going to get much rest before you come in here. And if you draw a bad first-round opponent, and we know Sofia Kenin's had problems with injuries, a lot of injuries since winning that Australian Open, but she's not a bad player. She's got experience of winning a slam. That's not the best first-round draw that you can get.
No, it sure isn't. You know, when you look at some of the advanced metrics with Coco Gauff, well, never mind. Here's another one I like. This Dana Vecic is playing Buzkova. Now, Buzkova. I talk like an American again. Buzkova can fire away. And on the grass, you kind of have to like players who can get big aces, win free points on their serve, and there's not many of them who can do it. Buzkova has had her issues this year, but she's one who can just bang the nonsense out of the ball, and I think she's going to do that. I think Dana Vecic, I don't know what she's into these days, but I think that could be a possible underdog play right there. You know who's this is going to be interesting, too, is Zhang is playing Siniakova, Craig. And Zhang is a good player. She's a good returner. If you can't serve on grass, then you better return great. And, you know, because we saw Novak early in his career. He's a great returner, but he couldn't serve great, right? Well, now he's learned how to do that, too. So I think this Zhang could pull one off. Kudermetova is taking on Kaya Kanepi. That could be a good one. The one I'm looking forward to also in the top half, Craig, is Vondrousova. She's taking on a girl from Cincinnati, Ohio, named Peyton Stearns, who is playing in her very first Wimbledon. She qualified. She would have gotten a wild card, but she's now ranked 55. She's a good one. She's up and coming. And I think that Peyton Stearns could pull off an upset round one, Craig.
Good play. I just caught the one underneath that. Sloane Stephens is here. Oh, how's she playing at the moment?
Probably the same way she always does, inconsistently.
But she's still in the top 50.
Well, for sure.
Do we play against her? She's playing against, and I know we've played Peterson a few times. Peterson, yeah. Swedish player.
Yep, I know her. I coached against her in juniors. I know all about her. She's
a tough match.
She's a pusher. And one of the things, you know how you beat a girl like Sloane? Push. Sloane will hit the ball off the backdrop.
We're going to come into pushers before we finish this call. I could tell you that much because we've got one coming back from retirement.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have a big announcement, by the way. Craig's favorite player on tour. I mean, Craig used to call me up when I lived in Greece. Craig used to call me up and say, or what I should have said when I was coaching in Greece, because he knew my schedule, I'd be up early, and he would call me up and he would say, play my girl. Carol's playing today. Play my girl. Is that right, Craig?
Yeah, she eventually did it. She won a slam.
Damn right she did. You know, we used to call her the pusher.
She was a great player to play in a WTA tournament. Don't play her in a slam. She's not going to win that. But if you play a WTA tournament, she was a great player to play because she had a knack for winning smaller tournaments.
Especially and beating players that who ordinarily might have taken her out in a major. She used to get them in those small tournaments. Remember, she got to number one in the world. And I'm really happy for her. She seems to want to play. And she was kind of cryptic, Craig, when she said, you know, I had dinner with Serena. She's my closest friend. And I think that relationship is amazing. We talked about that when it started. Remember how they went from rivals talking smack to each other to being pals? That's what happens when you beat somebody. You know?
I was about to say, when you can't beat someone, you just become their friend.
Yeah, why not? You know, that's the Kevin Durant syndrome. But, you know, if you can't beat him, join him, right? But I like Carol. She's a nice girl, first of all, right? She's a sweetheart of a kid. She's got two kids. You know what she's thinking, right? She's looking around at this tour, and she sees Venus, who she loves a lot, win a match over on grass, which was a great win. Remember, that first rounder was awesome last week. She's thinking she could probably ding a few of these girls on and maybe get into the top 50. And I think
she
could.
Well, we're going to see that at the Open this year. Right? She's going to get a wild card. She's announced she's coming back. If you're friends with Serena, you should probably get a wild card. So,
she is a major champion, though, so that usually helps.
Oh, she's a star as well. You know, she comes back and she's been on all the magazine covers and she's won a title and she draws news. So yeah, you get a wild card if you're the star.
Yeah, but have you ever heard her do commentary? She's kind of funny because she's pointed, but she doesn't do it in a mean way. She's mastered the art of you suck without saying it. It's kind of like a coaching thing. Maybe I should do that on this podcast instead of just going all out. But you know something, Craig? That should be a good top half. The bottom, we're going to get to the who we think is going to win this tournament in a minute. But the bottom half looks pretty rough. You've got Jobur in there. You've got Pliskova in there. You've got Kvitova in there. You know who's going to be? We'll talk about this in a minute. Rybakina, who is my pick to win this. I think she's going to blast. You know, Maria Sakkari is starting to serve better again. Let's see who else. Madison Keys is over there. Krejcikova is over there. That's a tough bottom half for the draw. And I would think Rybakina comes out of there, and that will be the end. But she's going to have it tough, man. She's got Kvitova over there. Pliskova can bang serves. I have her as one of my sleepers for this because if she gets hot, Craig, she can knock these girls out. I don't, you know, when I did the preview, the odds, the championship odds post that you can see over at, ohbetting.com for the girls. I didn't even have Ons Jabeur listed as a favorite or as a sleeper or a dark horse because, you know, she has that semifinal game, but I think she's just too darn nice to win.
Yeah, that's probably a fair assessment. You know, it's going to be somebody who's got a bit of a nasty streak in them that wins. That's why Swiatek wins so many things. She's got a nasty streak in her.
And she has a nasty streak. He does.
What do you think about Yelena Ostapenko? Because every time she comes to the UK, she wins a grass court tournament. It's just not Wimbledon.
Right, because she's burned out from all that.
But I noticed that she won in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. And then last week she pulled out of a match with Georgi after the first set.
She did.
So I'm not convinced that she's injured, by the way.
No, she's holding back.
I that's what I thought because she won the first two matches quite convincingly. And then when she lost that tiebreak, I think she just thought, I'm just going to take my bags and I'm going to head down to Wimbledon. And she's got a qualifier first round. Might come up against Sestea or Maria in the second round. And then, yeah, I just look at the draw and I think, this could open up quite nicely for her.
It could.
And she sits in there, and it's just like she's not drawn attention from anyone. It's been a while since she's really done the goods at a slam. Obviously, she's won Roland Garros, so she knows how to win. But she plays really well on the grass, that all-in style that she's got, where she really battles the ball, is really attractive to me. So I think I might be leaning towards her as possibly winning the tournament as a sort of dark horse outside bet.
You know, that's fair. She's fourth through the last 52 weeks on grass in aces, Craig. But she's also right up there at the top in double faults. Let's see, where is that? Yeah, she's right there, fifth or sixth in double faults. She's got more double faults than Coco Gauff. Well, Coco doesn't really hit double faults anymore because she just rolls that second serve in. But
it's interesting because if you're having a good day, then she's going to be difficult to stop. And that's where I look at her and I think when she comes up against a highly seeded player, a top player, we talk about golf and she keeps the ball in play, but the forehand is a weakness because she doesn't hit a lot of winners off that side. Whereas Ostapenko is sort of like a problem for someone like a Coco Gauff because pushing the ball back into play is one thing, but Ostapenko is going to hit a winner off it. If you push the ball back into play and you leave it short, she's going to step in and hit a winner. So she's got that kind of game where when things are going for her, there's a lot of opportunities for her to succeed. If she's hitting the unforced errors or the double faults are rolling too often, yeah, that's the problem. So there's a little bit of inconsistency, but I just feel like if the numbers are right, I might play that one today for her to win.
Okay. I wouldn't, but let's see. Yeah, she's done pretty well. So, you know, her grass court victories this year, she beat Harriet Dart over at Eastbourne before she withdrew in the second set against Georgi, but she beat Strikova, she beat Krejcikova, she beat Potapova, she beat Freck, she beat Venus, and she beat, Linda Noskova. But she lost to Peyton Stearns at Roland Garros. And one thing I always notice about Ostapenko, I'm not going to pick her. I've already picked Rybakina to win. I respect that shout, though.
But Rybakina's carrying an injury, isn't she? So she's not really been playing. So that, again, is like, is she going to be able to play seven matches? Or, has the time off been something that's given her time to heal? It's going to be, I'm interested in how she does in the first round.
Well, against Shelby Rogers, I think that's going to be a very good test because Shelby can serve. Shelby will fight you too. I think if Rybakina can get off to a good start, that's the key. And if she can get off, and what I mean by a good start, I mean right off the bat, hold, serve, break, right like that, pow, pow, right off the bat, then maybe. But no, I think she's going to bury Shelby Rogers. I honestly don't see anyone touching this girl. I think she was injured, but it was food poisoning, Craig. She got food poisoning at Roland Garros, I believe. And that takes some time to recover. You know, she didn't want to withdraw from that match in Paris. Would you?
I don't think she's played on the grass.
I think she has, Craig.
Did she play over in Germany? She didn't play in the UK, so
yeah,
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you where she is. She was over in Berlin, yeah. She played two rounds in Berlin. She knocked off Kudermetova, straight sets, and then she fell to Dana Vecic in three sets.
But then she didn't play this week in Eastbourne because she was due to play and she pulled out of the match with playing one of the Chinese players.
Yeah, probably, but I think she's going to be fine. So now I've got Rybakina winning this. What about Iga? We haven't talked about Iga Świątek that much on this podcast. Usually we don't talk about her on grass courts. She's a 350 underdog, our favorite, actually. She's the betting favorite at plus 350. So $100 wagered on Iga to win will pay you $350 cash.
She was playing this week, actually, but out in Hamburg. But I believe that she pulled out of her semi-final match today.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you look at it and she's... Is she injured? I don't think so. Is she on her way to Wimbledon? Yes.
Yes. She knows. You know what? She's probably living in a cocoon. Because she's not going to get food poisoning in London. She's going to stay away from all that Thai food and all that crazy stuff. And she's going to stick to what she does best. And that's stick to herself. I don't see anybody beating her. I don't see anybody in the top half beating Rybakina. And as far as Iga goes, Iga's not a grass court player, man. She doesn't have the serve to win at Wimbledon. You know, that's...
Agassi wasn't a grass court player either. And Agassi was able to win it. Yeah, but... I don't think the women's field, when you look at the 127 other girls in the draw, there's not a huge amount of strength in there. And when you say Świątek's not a grass court player, what you mean is she's not in the top, like, three or four. She's probably still in the top 10 when you look at the number of players in that draw. So if things go for her, and she's got a pretty good draw, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If things go for her, she can make the semifinals. If she makes the semifinals, she can make the finals.
Right, of
course. I just don't. Like the first three rounds, she's going to win all of those matches. I'd be really surprised if any of those players were able to chop her down on. Because she's going to be playing on the big court. She'll either be on court number one or the first match on Tuesday, she'll be out on center court. I just don't see anything up until round four where she's going to get troubled by anyone. And then even then, like the best players, seeded players in the draw round four are Belinda Bencic, who I think is finished. Or Lynette. I don't really see either of those people causing her problems. And then as you sort of go down the way, you're looking at like Victoria Azarenka, I think she's probably had her time. Kasatkina, I think, yeah, Świątek would probably win that one. And then it's Coco Gauff. Does Coco Gauff take out Świątek on grass?
Coco Gauff, only if they're playing golf and they go to the 19th hole. She's not beating Iga Świątek anywhere.
Yeah, I mean,
anywhere, Craig.
Right, so I think she makes the semi-final at least. And then from that point in these women's tournaments, and you know as well as I have that apart from the clay court one at Roland Garros, once you get to that semi-final, anyone can win it.
And once you get in the second week, anyone can win it. I agree with that. I just don't think it's going to be her because, again, for the last time, I have chosen Elena Rybakina to win. I've done pretty well with my future bets this year. So we're going to call that a draw. So who are you taking?
Think I'm going to stick with Ostapenko. It's going to be a big number. I'm not advising anyone else to go on it. It's more of a gut feeling that I've seen her the last few weeks and she's looked pretty hard on the grass. I'm just looking for the big number because I think you can get sucked in here to play in somebody who is one of the two, three favorites, and, you know, they go out first week.
Okay, so I'm looking at the futures odds. Now it's moved up again. Iga's is 4-1 to win. Rybakina is 425 to win. Sabalenka's 500 to win. These are all the best prices, by the way. 1,400 for Ons Jabeur. And I don't think she's going to win. Petra Kvitova is another one I think we need to talk about. She's a two-time champion. She's coming off a grass court championship just now, last Sunday.
She's a good player, but am I playing at 14-1 in odds?
There's not a way I'm doing that. That's why, I took Rybakina to win, Rybakina, however you want to say it. I took her to win this one. But I also have one other upset, Craig, that I think is going to... Actually, I have two, Craig. for the bottom half of the women's draw here. I've singled these two out. First of all, I think the young girl from the UK, not Emma Raducanu, the other one, the blonde hair girl, Katie Bolter, is that her name?
Yeah.
I think she takes out Daria Seville in the first round, and I bet you get a good price for that too.
Yeah, the British players are playing pretty well, or they have been playing pretty well ahead of...
Loaded draws always are good for that.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree with
little
that.
Little home cooking is a beautiful thing, Craig.
Some of these girls are going to win their first-round match, and it'll be the biggest event of the year for them. I think Bolter, having won in Nottingham a couple of weeks back, she didn't do as well the week afterwards, but having won that first tournament, she's going to be on the tour. So this is a big event for her. She has to perform here, because if she could get a couple of wins under her belt here, then she's on her way to the US Open and the Australian Open. So this could kickstart her career, even though she's in her mid-20s. So this is huge for her.
Oh, that's huge for her. I like her a lot. And you know what? I think that Maria Sakkari is going to be a big favorite. And she's playing Kostyak from Ukraine. And I really want to see Maria knock the daylights out of that girl. Because that's the other one who started a lot of that mouthy crap with her Belarusians and the Russians and the fake handshakes and the unsportsmanlike conduct. I understand why they don't want to. But I would also think that people would be wiser in their world and say, hey, look, this is a good way to bridge the gap. Show people that you can get along with folks who have nothing to do with any of that either. So, but I think that Sakkari gets beat in the first round. I don't think she really likes to play on grass. I think she's developing a personal life for herself. And I think she's made all the money she can make. She can't ever spend. And I think she's probably very proud of herself, and she should be.
Yeah, you get 45-1 is the offering that I'm seeing on Sakkari to win it. You're actually getting 50 on Jess Pegula. Yeah. I would play Pegula at 50 before I'd play Sakkari at 45.
I would play Sakkari on a hard court, though.
Yeah, but we're not on a hard court.
No, we sure aren't, are we?
You're not going to get 45 at the Open on Sakkari.
No.
There are, you know, Ostapenko is 25, which is what I'm going to play. She's ninth favorite in this listing that I'm looking at, behind Swiatek, Rybakina, Sabalenka, all the ones you called earlier, Kvitova, Gauff, Jabeur. So, yeah, then once you get, you know, down to where the likes of Pegula and Caroline Garcia are at 50-1, you're looking at big numbers for anybody else.
That's for sure. Okay, so I guess that's all we have. So you're going to go with Ostapenko. I'm going to go with Rybakina. And for the men's side, I think you and I are in agreement that it's Novak Djokovic to win this championship, correct?
Yeah, I just can't. I couldn't put down money on somebody else because I don't think they'll take him out. I think he's won the title 7 times. I'm sure he's been in the final a couple of times as well when he's not won. You know, you give me a name of somebody you think is going to take him out and win the tournament. And I just... No, he's going to be there. He's got such a good jaw.
No, he's not going to lose. He's going to make history. You know, he fell one match shy at the U.S. Open in 2021 of winning a calendar Grand Slam. With the way the world is going, he's not assured of anything anymore, especially when you're stubborn. And you know what? You stand by your principles. Sometimes you have to pay the price. But I see Novak winning the 2023 Wimbledon, and then I see him finishing the job at the U.S. Open, winning the calendar Grand Slam. As you mentioned last week, he'll probably then put his focus toward the Olympic gold medal. And after that, you aren't going to see Novak Djokovic again. You won't see him at too many exhibitions because no one likes him. You won't see him at too many tournaments handing out trophies because, again, that many people really like him. But he's one of the greats, and he's probably going to win this one. Is that you got anything else, Craig?
No, I will join you next week when we review what's happened in the first few rounds.
Yes, we will. All right. Remember something. I've got 3 plays out there three pieces out there, I should say. I've got the ladies preview over at OH Betting. I've got the men's preview and the championship prediction over at MD Betting. And I also have a betting guide, how to bet on Wimbledon at MD Betting. Don't forget to find us on your podcast catcher of choice. Leave a review, even if it's negative. We love to listen, and we love to learn from you, our listeners. For Craig Doyle, I'm Phil Nasis. Thanks for listening to This Week in Tennis.
This Week in Tennis.